This is the Sunday Spin on 720 WGN. Once again, here's Rick Pearson of the Chicago Tribune.
Good Sunday morning. Welcome back to the Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson of the Chicago Tribune. I'm going to go back for a second back to the Democratic National Convention on the final day, where it was time for Hillary Clinton, the first woman to capture a major party presidential nomination, to give her acceptance speech. And her speech was aimed at displaying optimism in contrast to the acceptance speech that Donald Trump made a week earlier in Cleveland.
Our country's motto is E Pluribus Unum. Out of many, we are one. Will we stay true to that motto? Well, we heard Donald Trump's answer last week at his convention. He wants to divide us from the rest of the world and from each other. He's betting that the perils of today's world will blind us to its unlimited promise. He's taken the Republican Party a long way, from morning in America to midnight in America. He wants us to fear the future and fear each other. Well, you know, a great Democratic president, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, came up with the perfect rebuke to Trump more than 80 years ago during a much more perilous time. The only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
That's Hillary Clinton's acceptance speech in Philadelphia on Thursday night. Well, joining me here in the Allstate Showcase studio is my good friend Tony Arnold, political reporter for WBEZ-FM Chicago and Illinois Public Radio. And Tony does not look the worse for wear after having done both conventions back-to-back. Welcome to
Thanks.
The show.
Yeah, no, I got some a little bit of rest, a little bit.
Now, I'm surprised that I didn't hear, I guess because she attributed that to Franklin Delano Roosevelt, that she wasn't accused of plagiarizing.
Yeah, right. Yeah, she. There's a footnote there. That says, yeah,
that's
like,
right.
Right. It's sourced.
Well, so having been in the action, I was in Cleveland and got to come home. You had to go right off to Philadelphia.
Uh-huh.
Compare and contrast what you saw at both conventions.
When I was there, I had an eye specifically toward the Illinois politicians and delegates for both conventions. So I think my overall takeaway from Cleveland was meeting a lot of newcomers to the political process who are Republicans and got asked to be involved in politics for the first time. So they're just trying to figure out how this works. Not just the national convention and watching the speeches, but also just interacting with some people who are elected or hold elected office and what that's even like. And then I think that was kind of my takeaway from Cleveland, was just looking at all the newcomers who are loyal to Donald Trump or support Donald Trump, interacting with people who, a lot of Illinois Republicans who aren't actually on board with Trump. Then compare that to Philadelphia with Democrats, where
the delegation size is almost three times.
I was just going to say, yeah, like the Democratic delegation is gigantic compared to the Republican delegation in Illinois, and I think and that has to do with just how blue Illinois is, but also I think watching there the political newcomers who are Sanders supporters interacting with Clinton supporters, there was still, you did hear some of the tension, but it wasn't to the same degree that was there in Cleveland. The people who supported Trump versus those who don't, and then those who support Clinton and those who don't. It was just a little bit different, where I think in Cleveland, like, you actually had people a little bit more divided, just not interacting at all. And in Philadelphia, it was more, you know, the Sanders supporters were telling me, this is just, it feels like everyone here is on board with Clinton, and we're here to crash the Clinton party. That's how it was kind of described to me in a summary here from the Sanders point of view. And then they would say, like, in a degree, we are. We know that Clinton's going to get the nomination, but still, we wanted to see more, more from the party about bringing the Sanders people in. And so when you're here and it's all Clinton buttons and Clinton swag and everyone here is just talking about Clinton and not really acknowledging Sanders, that feels like a little bit of a burn. I don't mean that
aptly put.
Aptly, right. It feels like they're kind of ignoring us or putting us off to the side. So they didn't feel totally inclusive. That said, there wasn't as much. I don't think that there was as much of a divide there as there was in Cleveland.
But on that first day, or frankly, it was the weekend going into that first day, where that's where the WikiLeaks release of the DNC emails came out, Debbie Wasserman Schultz gone, a pronounced effort by the party to steer things Hillary Clinton's way. That couldn't have been necessarily a great way for these Bernie Sanders supporters who, yeah, they know what the scoreboard's going to say at the end of the ball game, but they wanted certain acknowledgement by the party, and then you have these emails thrown at you.
Yeah, and you saw that on the floor of the convention center, not just among Illinois delegates, but from other states as well. On the final night, I was there for the Clinton speech, and just when you're looking around the arena, Illinois' delegation was sitting in front of California's delegation.
And California was a noisy bunch.
Very noisy, and they were booing a lot of speakers, and in the lead up to the final night, they were booing mentions of Hillary Clinton. They had on the final night just a gigantic banner that said hashtag WikiLeaks. There were signs all over saying walk the walk or no TPP, which are anti-Clinton signs.
The Trans-Pacific trade pair.
Correct. Yes, and then when I was talking to people again, it was a lot of the Sanders people were saying, you know, we're here with our signs, and then the Clinton people are putting up their signs around ours to try to block them from TV cameras, so that if you're watching at home, you wouldn't necessarily see the signs that the Sanders people were holding, these signs that I'm describing. And so there was just some frustrations that, again, they weren't being welcomed here to, I guess, protest the person getting the nomination. That was kind of the gist of it. And then you had this whole kind of rivalry between the Illinois delegates and the California delegates because of their proximity to each other on the floor, where when California delegates would boo, you'd have kind of these establishment Democrats like Cook County Commissioner John Daly, you know, saying you don't boo, we're here to support these people, you don't boo them. And so you had some people being frustrated from the Illinois delegation with the people that from California who are there, and even Speaker Michael Madigan, the chairman of the Illinois Democratic Party, said that the California delegation was in disarray compared to the Illinois delegation, where you had the Sanders, the leaders of the Sanders campaign in Illinois doing a lot to try to bring the two sides together to support Clinton to end up defeating Trump. And Clem Balanoff, who's one of those leaders of the Sanders campaign in Illinois, Madigan went out of his way to address Clem Balanoff and say, you know, how great he's been at trying to unify the two camps.
Well, I think that was reflected too the on Tuesday or the second day with the roll call, where Balanoff got to announce the Sanders numbers for the roll call.
Yeah, when they go through each state, right? It goes Alabama, and I can't do them all in order.
was going to be your trivia test this morning.
No, I can't do it. When they got to Illinois after each state, yeah, they had Madigan introduce the state to the world. You have 90 seconds to say something about the character of Illinois Democratic Party. And Madigan acknowledged Dick Durbin, and he acknowledged Tammy Duckworth in that 90 seconds, and then passed the baton to Clem Balanoff to say we nominate so many votes for Bernie Sanders. And then he passed the baton to Hillary Clinton's childhood friend, Betsy Eberling, to say, okay, now this is, Clinton won Illinois, and this is how many votes we have for Illinois. So it was this moment where Illinois was one of the few states to actually acknowledge and have a Sanders supporter announce the votes, which Clem Balanoff, the person who did that, said later after that that the reason that was important wasn't just symbolic. It's not just a nice gesture. It's also meaningful because what they're doing is trying to, you know, unify to beat Trump. There's a goal here. There's a practical thing here. And Balanoff's point was, this isn't just something that's nice. It's actually we're going to take this to go toward.
And it's an acknowledgement of the work that the Sanders people put in.
Right.
But now
right.
It's a matter, you know, and then that's the standing story, I think, is how do you harness that? Can you harness that?
Mm-hmm.
Can Hillary Clinton attract that energy, that fervent support? And I think that's a standing question.
Yeah, and from the Illinois delegates that I talked to who are Sanders supporters, there is still some resistance to get on board with Clinton after 4 days of being in the city and being, you know, talking about how important this was to come together and to beat Trump. There's still some resistance, but they weren't saying no, absolutely not. No way am I going to not vote for Hillary Clinton. There wasn't. I didn't meet too many of that. There was much more of a genuine kind of wrestling with the idea of having to vote for Clinton, but not necessarily no. Like there was at the end of Cleveland, where I was still hearing
from
Never Trumps within the Illinois Republican delegation.
We're speaking with Tony Arnold. He's the political reporter for WBEZ FM Chicago and Illinois Public Radio, back after a long 2 weeks on the road. I'm Rick Pearson here in the Allstate Showcase studio. This is the Sunday Spin. Good Sunday morning. Welcome back to the Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson here in the Allstate Showcase studio with Tony Arnold, the political reporter for WBEZ. We touched on the issue of those DNC, the WikiLeaks email release, and the DNC kind of looking to help Hillary Clinton against Bernie Sanders. But a very interesting statement, because they're all interesting statements these days out of Donald Trump that came after that. And basically saying that, you know, the Russians, even though he's not sure they did it, but if they did hack the DNC, then they probably hacked Hillary, her emails, and her private email servers.
What do I have to get involved with Putin for? I have nothing to do with Putin. I've never spoken to him. I don't know anything about him other than he will respect me. He doesn't respect our president. And if it is Russia, which is probably not, nobody knows who it is, but if it is Russia, it's really bad for a different reason, because it shows how little respect they have for our country when they would hack into a major party and get everything. But it would be interesting to see. I will tell you this. Russia, if you're listening, I hope you're able to find the 30,000 emails that are missing. I think you will probably be rewarded mightily by our press.
There is Donald Trump once again, but later he said that was just a joke. That's just sarcasm. Even though his connections with the Russians, despite his denials, is becoming an ever-growing story. And now you have with the issue of going after the family, the parents of a slain Muslim American soldier. People are going, oh, well, here's a new misdirection play to take everybody's mind off of Russia. It's just this ever-going, ongoing saga, and I don't know where this ends. I mean, you saw on the Twitterverse all weekend denunciations of Trump by some major Republican characters, although we haven't heard from House Speaker Paul Ryan. We haven't heard from Senate Republican Leader Mitch McConnell. But just when you think he can't say anything more condemning, he does. It's almost a modus operandi.
I think I saw that his vice presidential pick too, Pence.
Mike Pence, the Indiana governor.
Take those questions to the campaign, not to me.
Which I thought was kind of interesting, since he's half the campaign ostensibly.
Right.
But so don't ask me. Ask the campaign about that. we were talking during the break about how the difference in covering the two conventions. And, you know, as you started out talking about the differences, it also makes for differences in how you cover it. The fact that, for the most part, in the 69-member Illinois Republican delegation, as you said, a lot of first-timers, a lot of, first-time getting politically active. And so you contrast that with an Illinois Democratic delegation, though split, you know, sizably between Hillary Clinton supporters, Bernie Sanders supporters. For the most part, those are all people that have political experience.
Right. And in Cleveland, when you look at the Illinois Republican Party, they're very, very open that they're in this, they're changing, they're trying to grow here. I don't think that's out of line to say. And so to be there and pretty much all week, you heard some frustrations from people that Governor Bruce Rauner, who's kind of the face of the Illinois Republican Party now, he calls
himself the leader of the Republican Party.
He says that himself. And so he skipped the convention, and so did U.S. Senator Mark Kirk. And as a result, there were very few elected Republicans there who were there to compliment Trump or to talk highly of Trump. For the Illinois Democratic Party, there were a number of elected Democrats who are there to support Sanders or elected as Sanders delegates, mostly lower rank or down ballot people, state representatives or aldermen.
Local, right.
Local. Yeah, not statewide like Treasurer Mike Frerichs or Attorney General Lisa Madigan or something like that. So there was a difference there in terms of when you talk about establishment Republicans or establishment Democrats, basically elected people who've been around for a while. There was a difference there where a lot of elected Republicans weren't on board with Trump, but who were there. But then there were still elected Democrats who were on board with Sanders.
Yeah, and it was interesting, and I had Mark Fratella on the show last week, and he was one of the more pronounced Trump delegates from mm-hmm. Elmhurst, and he actually talked about how he thought that the state Republican Party, and going in there were questions because of Bruce Rauner not being there and Mark Kirk not being there, that he had questions about just how much the establishment of the Republican Party would work to support Donald Trump. And in the end, he said he was very pleased with the way the party apparatus moved. But Even with the party apparatus saying we're for Donald Trump, I still think there's a degree of energy there, in much the same way that there are questions about a degree of energy, you know, among Democrats for Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, I think you saw that in Cleveland, where the chairman of the Illinois Republican Party went out of his way to talk about how the party is supporting the nominee and supporting Donald Trump. And so then you had any frustrations was not so much with the party, it was with individually elected officials
who were elected for as Ted Cruz delegates or who were mm-hmm. elected as John Kasich delegates, for
yeah.
example.
And what you heard, what I heard a lot from a lot of the newcomers at the Republican convention was, we wanted to see our ideals, our candidate, basically Trump, reflected in the Republicans that are elected. Like, we want to, this is an electoral process here, and we want to see Rauner and Kirk and other people get behind our candidate because they're elected to represent us. It was almost like, we're not electing you just for the governing side of things. We're electing you for the political side of things also. That's something that I heard from quite a few Trump people, actually.
So on Thursday night, so you have Hillary's speech.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's leaving town. What was the volume of Kumbaya?
There were some Sanders supporters were wearing glow-in-the-dark yellow shirts to stand out in the crowd so that you could see them. And there were clusters around the arena. When you're on the floor, you're just kind of – it's just a first-person experience. This is what I saw. You saw clusters of glow-in-the-dark shirts because it's kind of dark in the arena itself. And in the Illinois delegation – I could probably count on one hand how many
of those
shirts that I saw. Now, does that mean that everyone who wasn't wearing the shirt wasn't on board? I don't know. But by and large, it's not. I didn't. I got the sense from a lot of the Illinois delegation that they were leaving there okay with supporting Clinton, that there weren't too many people saying the Bernie or bust crowd, that kind of
but
thing.
But at the same time, though, part of the whole convention idea is when the delegates leave and go home, their job is to help rev up the people back home for the ticket. And to me, that's still the open question.
I agree with that. I did see, I was in between the Iowa and Illinois delegation, which were next to each other, and I did see an Iowa delegate walk off in the middle of Clinton's speech. Just one. But that was something that I had heard earlier in the week from some Sanders delegates in Illinois that they were either going to
turn their back
or have kind of a silent protest or not show up, skip the speech altogether, which they might have done. It's hard to do a tally of that in the moment. But if they did do that, they were quiet about it and not noticeable like some of the people from California, for instance, who are very vocal.
Just in the seconds we have left in this segment. Obviously, a dominant conversation was 2018 and the Illinois race for governor.
That dominated it the whole week, yeah.
And no clear answers.
No, but you get a sense of who, at these types of things, you get everybody, every big name Democrat in one room, and you get a sense of who has the power, who wants the power, and who thinks that they have power than they don't. And so
I like that last part the best.
Yeah. And so you saw all sorts of people talking about 2018 in the race for governor. What I didn't hear much about was 2019 in the race for Chicago mayor, which actually kind of surprised me a little bit. But there was a lot of names being thrown around for potential Democratic nominees for governor, including Senator Dick Durbin, Chris Kennedy, of the Kennedy family. Ed Burke said you should be talking about Valerie Jarrett running for governor. So those are probably the three big names that came out of the week.
And the scene of Chris Kennedy addressing the delegation breakfast and then basically trying to get in an elevator that doesn't work and chastising reporters for trying to ask him questions. I'm not sure where that learning curve is right now.
I think he's learning what it's like to interact with the press, who wants to hear from him if he's going to be a real candidate. He gave this...
The point being real candidate after he's been basically floated by gossip columnists for many years.
Right. His name has mostly been in gossip columnists. That's where I've seen his name mostly as a political reporter. That's where I've seen most of his... I don't see him giving these speeches...
in very
much
public
at all.
Forums, right?
Yeah, and so it was when he left after he gave this speech where he was very critical of Bruce Rauner and very complimentary of labor unions. He left and tried to avoid this whole cluster of reporters and TV cameras who were there waiting for him to just to gauge his interest on how seriously are you considering this run. So he goes straight to the elevator. Well, then he gets chased by a bunch of reporters who cram onto the elevator. So many get on that the doors won't close. The bell starts ringing, and he's saying to Mike Flannery from Fox Chicago, "Have you no decency? What have you become?" And then he just leaves the elevator and then he kind of meets with a few reporters in the lobby of the hotel one-on-one later on and basically says that he didn't appreciate, he felt like he was being bullied. The press, you know, for our part, we did this with everybody else there who's including
Speaker Madigan.
Including Speaker Madigan. So this is not like a unique scenario to him, but to Kennedy, but if you don't address a whole cluster of reporters who are there waiting for you, well, you're going to get followed. There's a different way to handle that, I suppose.
Tony Arnold, political reporter at WBEZ-FM and Illinois Public Radio, thank you so much for getting up with me this morning, and thanks so much for rehashing your last 2 weeks.
It's a pleasure. Thanks.
You're listening to The Sunday Spin on WGN.